the following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
All right, Bob Chick filling in for Sugar Sean. He is on his way back across the pond. He was over at the Body Power Show, so we'll get that report once Sean is back. So we'll expect him back on the airwaves next week. Right now, we have a very special treat. Of course, my good friend, who better to do some New York Pro breakdown, but my good friend, the greatest bodybuilding journalist of all time, Peter McGough. Welcome, Peter.
It's Peter McGough here, not the greatest bodybuilding journalist of all time.
Come on, my friend.
Thanks for the kind words, Bob. You've always been a supporter, but no. That's better than me. But let's move on. Let's not debate that.
Well, there is no debate there. I'll put up a poll on that, and it'll be 100%. So guys will take more pleasure in that than the whopping 87% that Lionel Bacchi, of course, should have won Brazil. But we're going to let that one bury. But, Peter, we had a great weekend in New York City. The weather cleared up, sun was shining, and more importantly, the stage was jumping.
Yeah, it was a very, very interesting contest full of twists and turns. You know, Big Ramy came in at the last minute, and it was obvious from the get-go that he wasn't the same as he was last year, wasn't as well conditioned, but it just proves, you know, it proved the old adage, you know, a big guy is going to beat a big guy, you know, and in the end, Ramy could have won if he'd have come on in a clown's hat on a skateboard being pulled by a pair of pigs, you know, he could have, well, I was going to say walked it, but he couldn't if he was on a skateboard, but yeah, in the eight comparisons they had with one, you know, and this is not disrespectful to Juan Morel, who was second. Ramy won them all just on pure dimensions and size. And of course, for a really big guy who's was not really on, the saving grace was his waist was tight. Normally, when a big guy's off, the stomach might bloat a bit, but it didn't for him. And you just look at the thighs. You know, they're the same size and contours as Alibaba's pants. You know.
Well, Peter, this was back in 1978 or 79 when the NOC first made its appearance many, many years ago. You might have seen Ramy in a clown suit on a skateboard.
That's right, yes.
We'll get into that a little bit later with the history and some of the craziness that actually used to take place on that stage, which is quite some interesting stories. But I want to stick on Big Ramy for a second, Peter. Now, we had heard a few weeks ago, actually I had seen him in Pittsburgh, talked to Dennis James. Dennis was truly a 50-50 split on the fence of, I don't know if I can get him in shape in time. As most of us know by now, Ramy was a little bit behind as he battled some respiratory illness for the better part of 4 or 5 weeks. So, but he did. I mean, he did get him in shape. Now, was he, you know, ripped to the bone? Certainly not. But, man, I tell you, Peter, I mean, his size, and it's truly not captured in pictures or even video. Seeing this guy in person, standing next to these other guys who are not small by any stretch, is truly amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't at the Night of the Champions last year, not the New York show last year, or the Olympics. I'd never seen Big Ramy in the flesh. And, it just knocks your eyes out. I mean, Dennis James did introduce me to him, and I said to him, do you mind if I walk round you and get my cardio out of the way for the day? You know, that's how big the guy is, you know. You sort of, I think that the first thing you do when you see Ramy, you smile or you laugh and shake your head. You know, it's like, wow, you know, what is this? It's ridiculous, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure we've seen that kind of mass on anybody. I mean, you know, and we've got some big names. I mean, Paul Dillette was a big guy, but obviously he was taller and certainly had the broad shoulders, but, you know, he didn't even have that thickness. Dorian, at his best, I think maybe might come close, but I don't think I've ever seen a guy with this combination of size, shape, and but muscular thickness.
Yeah, it's the roundness of the muscles and the completeness of the physique. And, you know, people say, well, he hasn't got great calves. Well, I don't know what his calves are. They're probably 20 inches, but they're going to look small with 34-inch thighs. He's got this, I mean, he is wider than most guys when he does a side chest pose. You know, that's how big he is. He's got it, the width, he's got the thickness. A lot of guys, Paul didn't really have the thickness, did he? And he was maybe 275 pounds. Dorian was 265. This guy is 290, you know.
Just to put that in perspective.
Yeah. I mean, he's only been training 4 years, so to me, he's a DNA freak. People talk about, oh, he's got some secret drug. The Arab countries have manufactured something, you know, BS. I mean, he's just a freak that responds to every muscular stimulus and gives somebody. It's bound to happen one day that somebody would come out of the woods, a genetic freak from the bigger pool that we're looking at now.
Well, I don't think there was anybody that disputed the victory. I mean, usually there's a few people going back and forth, and we always do it and have some fun with it, but you know, even at 85%, which is about where I'm going to peg him for percentages, and then, of course, you can give me your assessment, he's a clean winner. I mean, he's a man playing with boys out there. I mean, the question is, Peter, has he established himself without actually being on the Olympia stage again as a top six guy this year?
Well, this is this has been written by Agatha Christie and directed by Alfred Hitchcock. There's still the mystery, the suspense. We saw him in New York last year, blitzed everybody, but still there were doubts. Did he have the detail for the Olympia stage? He wasn't as good at the Olympia as he was at the in New York, and he got eighth. And here again, he's left us guessing. Is a guy who's only been training 4 years and growing like a weed, which is a stupid word, I suppose, to put next to Rami, but can he already have that muscle maturity and etched in detail of the top six guys at the Olympia? Is it there? Was it masked on Saturday because he didn't have the time to get ready? Can he bring it out for the Olympia? Dennis James says it's there and he can, and he's going to work with Dennis in Arizona. He's not going back to Kuwait. Dennis himself said he was 85%, so I would go along with that. You know, that 15% is going to be astonishing to watch if it's unleashed.
Well, it sure will. Well, Rami walked out, and it was pretty much lights out, and that's in comparison to a very good lineup that we'll get into a little bit. But, you know, obviously we'll be following Rami as he prepares for the Olympia. I do not believe, obviously, Coach Dennis James will have him on stage anywhere between now and the Olympia. I just don't see it would have any cause or effect. So I'm going to assume that he's going to be at the O. And I'm also going to assume, and this is something I noticed, Peter, and I want to get your take on it. People want to ask where he improved. Actually, I did PBW with Dan and Chad Nichols, and Chad didn't think he improved any. But I beg to differ with that. And it wasn't so much in physique, because even though I do think he has increased somewhat in physique, I think the major and vast improvements have been in his stage presence, his ability to pose, and the fact that he just looks a whole lot more comfortable on stage at this point.
Yeah, unfortunately, as I said, I didn't see him last year, but I know that was a knock against him. You know, he came out on that stage like he owned that stage, like he owned New York, totally confident without being cocky. Totally comfortable with what he was showing and how he was showing it, and he did pose very well. You know, with those muscle groups, he showed himself to advantage. One interesting thing was that in the evening when he did his posing, he never did one back shot. So they were obviously thinking, you know, that was one area that maybe was lagging that night. But you know, in terms of the thickness of the back and the width of it and the V taper down to the narrow waist, it was still a knockout as far as I'm concerned. If he can come in sharp, if he has that detail already there, you know, when we talk about detail, the first guy you think of is Phil Heath. And he had that detail from the get-go. It's a genetic thing with him, all those separations and little muscles that we don't know anybody else has. He has like a bicep on his forearm. You know, it's ridiculous. Can Hanny, not Hanny, can Rami mine that out of himself? Is it there after? Is it fair to expect it to be there after 4 years of training? Do we have to wait for a muscle maturity to kick in a little? But Rami's rewritten the record books already, so nothing would surprise me with this guy from here on in.
Well, I'll tell you this, I could have easily had him in the top six of this last year's Olympia, and I've already gone on record saying I think it's a shoo-in that he's in the top six this year. I think you're going to see a much improved Rami. I think he's going to walk on that Olympia stage like he owns it. Of course, the big question is, can he overcome Phil Heath or any of the rest of the guys that are up there, because Phil does own the Olympia stage right now.
Yeah, and the whole Olympia title at the moment is in the hands of Phil Heath. Of the current contenders, the only way to win, in my opinion, respectfully, in the next 2 or 3 years, is if Phil is off. And the only one that I would not put that against is Rami. If Rami improves, he may not have to wait for Phil to be off. It would be a battle royal, you know, if he can get that detail. But as I say, we have to wait and see whether that's in his locker, his potential locker.
Well, speaking of Phil Heath and Dennis James, also a name that we've mentioned, those were two guys, Peter, that placed first and third, respectively, in the 2006 New York Pro Championships, so not too long ago, but yeah. Phil Heath taking top honors there. Our good friend Darren Charles ended up second, David Henry in fourth, Bill Wilmore, King Kamali, my old buddy, in sixth, George Farah. And this list pretty much goes right down the line and into a who's who of bodybuilding, but it certainly did Phil good to get that New York Pro title, so I'm guessing it probably ain't going to hurt Rami either.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Phil, that was his second show. You know, he'd won the Colorado the week before, and he came into that. And, you know, at the time, you know, he was tabbed as a Mr. Olympia by me, but not by Chad. The knot was he was too narrow, which he was. But those days are gone now. He's filled out, and he's got all the body parts. And interestingly, in that show, if we think about modern day, you know, out of the top 17 in that show was Kai Greene,
who now is Kenny Jones. Let's not forget
Kenny Jones. You know, but Kenny. Kenny never played the political game. It was all politics. He could have been a multiple Mr. Olympia if he'd just played the game and not gone flip-flopping like a fish all over the stage. You know, that was the thing. You know.
Well, for those who never got the pleasure of seeing Kenny Jones on stage, I suggest you Google is your best friend. But Peter, it's a great point though, because you're right. You look out of the top 16, and there's the name of Kai Greene. Yeah. In there, that, you know, you talk about making a considerable change literally overnight.
Yeah.
It wasn't too much longer, but obviously we were talking about Kai Greene in the same breath.
I mean, he started to turn around. I mean, this is a guy who been around for years, 10, 12 years probably, competing, and was always, you know, great muscle density, but I don't know what he weighed, you know, maybe 210, 220, and then suddenly in a year or two, it was 250. I remember, I think it was the Colorado show the next year. He came on last, and you and Dan were doing a commentary, and you were sort of discussing who was going to be one, two, and three. And then Kai walked out, you know, like, hang on a minute, hold all bets. We haven't seen this guy before, you know.
Well, he went from obscurity in 06 to sixth place in 07 at that same show. So that's when he truly started to make his mark. And you're right, Peter. Boy, when he splashed on in Colorado, boy, I mean, it's been lights out ever since. And he's been obviously chasing Phil Heath for all he's worth. And we'll see another battle this year with that. But, you know, we're talking a little bit about the history of the New York Pro, Peter. And that goes way back to 1978 when it was called the Night of Champions. It was in a brand new concept at the time, and an interesting show. The first one, I think, only had, I don't know, was it 7 or 8 guys in it, if I remember?
Yeah. Yeah, Robbie Robinson, he was at the peak of his powers then. You know, he was runner-up 77 Olympia, and then again in 78, and he won that first contest with Roy Callender,
right,
in second. Boyer Coe was in the lineup. I'm not sure if Danny Padilla was.
I don't think Danny was in 78. 79 was obviously, as we both know.
Yeah.
You talk about your huge debacles and your, and your stories, you know, of getting out there. Boy, 79 was absolutely insane with Robbie Robinson and Danny Padilla going to three pose downs.
Yeah.
And everybody, it's interesting. I've had many conversations, as most people know. I lived in the same city in Rochester, New York with Danny. So I grew up with Danny. I've heard, you know, many, many stories, some true, you know, some, you know, expounded on, of course, over the years. But I talked to many people, Peter, who were at the 79 Night of the Champions, and these two went down to the wire. But at one point, Danny thought it was over. I mean, like, he was literally back in the locker room. I don't know if they had some halftime entertainment or something, but like in the shower, you know, like with suds in his hair. And they actually came and got him because they said they were tied. And wasn't that the show that Danny scored a perfect score but lost a show?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, if you think about Danny's career, losing that and then losing the 81 Olympia when he was fifth and was in the best shape of his life. I mean, Danny was a tremendous bodybuilder. Probably the best short man ever. I mean, because he was so balanced. And with all due respect, you know, a lot of short guys, even in a photograph, you can tell they're short because their head's a little bit bigger in comparison to other body parts. Danny wasn't like that. You could show a non-bodybuilder a picture of Danny and say, this guy's 6 foot two. And, oh, yeah, yeah. And he had everything, didn't he?
Oh,
everything
yeah.
was there, the legs, the calves. He, in some ways, he was a bit like a mini Arnold, but with some better body parts. I just think he was and such a short guy. I mean, a lot of bodybuilding fans, you know, the old classic story is the little guy gets into bodybuilding. And Danny was the hero of the time, you know, had a tremendous following. Of course, his personality and his one-liners, you know, which if we had videos in those days and interviews, wouldn't it have been terrific to hear these guys going at it? You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, but I mean, just the judging process itself, the fact that you could actually have three pose downs. And they had a different scoring system back then, which was, you know, based on this 300 score and then this and that. And no reference there to the modern-day movie there, Peter, with the 300. But Danny gave Robbie all he was worth, and a lot of people to this day will still dispute that he won. But at the end of the day, Peter, Danny came up short.
and, you know, there's no truth in the rumor that Robbie was looking down on him, you know.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what, if you look at, I got some old Muscle and Fitnesses, or actually Muscle and Power, as I think they were still called back then, that had the Night of the Champions detailed, and most of them were black and white shots, which, you know, I'm very fond of, and still think that they're the true pictures of bodybuilding. But, man, both guys were just in tremendous shape. I mean, I can see where this was tied or went to a third pose down.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they were... It probably was a difficult one to call. You know, Robbie had those knockout body parts and, you know, but maybe wasn't as complete as Danny. But, you know, like I say, Danny had some, you know, some hard calls there, you know.
Oh, yeah, he did. I mean, and for those, you know, Danny always used to kind of play the victim, but, I mean, he did have his share of shortcomings, no pun intended, of course.
Sure.
You know, like for a lot of people don't know, in the movie Pumping Iron, which we've both seen 1,000 times, Danny was actually supposed to be there competing. That's why he was in South Africa, as most people just remember him as being in the audience and marveling at Franco's lat spread. But nobody ever remembers, Peter. It's like, well, wait a minute, why is Danny there in South Africa? And if you piece it together with the fact that there are not one but two heavyweights in Ken Waller and Mike Katz, you can start to do the math. Danny was actually kind of booted off the team, so to say, or not put on the team, as he wasn't even officially on it, because they favored having two heavyweights in there. I don't know if that was due to the movie that was being shot, the documentary of Pumping Iron, or just a call from above, but kind of he really got the shaft on that one.
It was definitely the movie. What happened was that when they shot some film earlier on, there was a little bit of needle, not real needle, but they painted it as needle between Ken Waller and
Mike Katz.
So the director, George Butler, you know, pitched it to, look, we need this storyline. Ken's not in this contest. They get, well, there's only so many can be in the American team. So there again, poor old Danny, what bad luck he had, you know.
Well, and there is a picture of him actually, if memory serves, Peter. I haven't cracked this open in years, but in the book Pumping Iron, which to me is like the holy grail of bodybuilding books, there's a picture of Danny as he's actually sitting on the bed putting on his black socks, and it actually has a caption, something to the effect of a dejected Danny Padilla as he wasn't on the team or something like that.
Yeah, that was definitely the reason for it. You know, Pumping Iron, they started, it was going to be a true documentary, you know, of guys training and going to South Africa, but very quickly, as is the whole essence of bodybuilding, it became repetitive with guys just doing bench presses. And so George Butler says, we've got to get something going here. And, of course, he couldn't have had a better role than Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's when Arnold started all the, you know, trainings like an orgasm and having a pop right. with Louis. And Louis was supposed to come out to Gold's Gym, but no, let's do this East Coast, West Coast thing. You know, Arnold's on the beach and, Lou's in New York at the Mercury Gym with his dad. This all started to build in, you know, to like a fictional type of thing. I mean, it wasn't fictional, it was embroidered. But without that, it wouldn't have captured the public's imagination. We would have all watched it, but it wouldn't have got the coverage it got from Media Land.
Well, Peter, the judging wasn't the only thing a little bit crazy going on stage back then. There were some really wacky and wild moments on that NOC stage. Tell us about some of the favorite ones you remember.
Well, I remember 94 when Mike Francois won. You know, he was on that was his second contest. He won the Arnold. He won 94, Night of Champions. Then he went to 95 Arnold, won that. So won his first pro shows to equal Flex. But they brought a big bullock on stage, you know, but it was drugged up to the eyeballs. You could tell that, you know, he staggered on. It sat at the back of the stage. It was like Hail to the Beef type thing. And halfway through, and I should have looked this up, somebody's routine, it did a massive deposit on the stage, which, you know, bullshit wasn't new to bodybuilding, but we've never seen it so graphically illustrated. You know, I mean, it was just bodybuilders and animals, you should never work with them, you know.
Well, I mean, camels, gravestones, they kind of did a whole big array of stuff way back then.
Yeah, Muhammad McAvey came on in 82, you know, obviously with his Egyptian background, he was on a camel. Then we had the WBF come into being in 1990. On the stage was this graveyard with all the names of the guys who had gone, you know, Stride and Mike Quinn, all those guys. And the competitors were told to go out and smash the gravestones up. One guy who refused to do it was Dorian Yates, making his pro debut. But they were smashed, and Mike Quinn was in the audience. And unlike Mike, he went ballistic. There's no respect for people. So I was surprised he didn't climb on the stage and start something, you know.
Yeah, Mike was a little crazy, for those who don't know, in a crazy kind of way. I don't mean that facetiously, but definitely some antics. You know, a lot of people know Big Ramy is of Egyptian heritage. I don't believe they have a camel big enough for this guy.
No, he'd carry the camel on. You know, that would have to be what would happen there, you know, and there's a joke there, but it's a bit, I'm not going to say it, never mind.
Well, we can go to plan B on the jokes. Let's see, just make sure it's hump day. Come on, we got a whole lot.
Yeah, something like that. We're still in the family viewing time period, you know.
I've heard of getting the monkey off your back, but that's taking it to a whole new level. Well, the list is an impressive one. When we look at, you know, from the crazy antics of the old NOC to the modern day New York Pro, which, by the way, congratulations to Steve Weinberger and crew for another excellent competition. This New York Pro has really continued the tradition on, and now in its 36th year, one of the longest running shows, if not the second, I'm guessing, only to the Olympia. But Lee Haney, Albert Beckles, Labrada, Vince Taylor, a guy named Ronnie Coleman, I think you remember. I mean, these were all guys who have won the NOC.
Yeah, I mean, they were, you know, it was a rite of passage for a lot of guys. You know, all these, you know, you think of Dorian, Lee Haney, and Ronnie, they all won the Night of the Champions before going on to, you know, win the Olympia. And I think Dex is the only one that's done the Arnold. And, you know, we always think of the Arnold as the biggest show, second biggest show, but it hasn't been the feeder ground for Mr. Olympia. I know Ronnie won in 2001, but he was already a Mr. Olympia then. I remember 96 when Flex beat Ronnie and the top five posed down and Mike Matarazzo was in the pose down. And you know how it is, the guys go at it for a minute or
sure.
two, and Flex was always one to say, can we wrap this up? You know? So he persuaded every Ronnie and all the rest of them to go off stage. And Mike, you know, he had some great results and some not so good results, so he wasn't going to turn down the opportunity for the spotlight here. He kept on, you know, and he was screaming at the audience with his tongue out, come on, where's those guys? Are they cowards? Are they going to make on? And the audience, you know that New York audience,
yeah.
they love that type of thing. They went ballistic. They were on their feet, hooting and all, and Mike just went on and on and on. And the others never came back. You know, he must have been on there for about 2 or 3 minutes, and he used every ounce of energy he had, and he left the stage to sort of a standing ovation just about, you know.
Mike was truly the showman of all showmen, one of the first guys, if I'm not mistaken, Peter. I think I have always given credit to Mike for being one of the first guys, at least, to actually hop off the stage and go into the audience. He kind of pioneered that move.
Oh, yeah. That was emblematic of Mike. He's something like yourself, Bob, and I'm not bullshitting you. Great with the fans. Never turned anybody away. Never ignored them. Never said, hey, I'm in a contest. I haven't got time for you. He would spend time with the fans, and they loved him. And with that Boston wit and delivery, you know, again, if we had these guys like we have now on MD minutes after a show, oh, the fun we'd have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, listen, you got to be part showman in this game. That's what sells tickets, and that's what makes bodybuilding interesting. And, you know, this has been kind of a trademark now where a lot of these shows, they do go into the audience. And as you can see, Peter, it's always well received. I mean, I don't think people just do not get a chance to see, you know, some of the best bodybuilders in the world that up close and personal.
The audience are always screaming out for entertainment. Even if a guy comes out and does something, gives a funny look or a smile, they respond. They don't want to see somebody go up there and just pose with a blank face and all the rest of it. And any time they can emote their personality into the audience and then get into the audience love it. You know, you and I are spoiled. We can walk up to a guy backstage and stand, you know, a foot away from him. In Rami's case, 3 foot away from him. We see it all up close. They don't see it. You know, can you imagine Rami doing the most muscular to, you know, somebody's mother in the front row? It's like, you know, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I had my I had my own brush with greatness, Peter. My name almost added to this list back in 2002. I stepped on the Night of the Champion stage, and unfortunately ran into a big German guy named Marcus Ruhl.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. You know, you were up to him, and, you know, it was, I don't know, it was, you could say apples and oranges, but maybe it was the Wiener Schnitzel and lasagna, you know.
More Beauty and the Beast, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you could have taken that. I mean, Marcus was a beast, wasn't it? I mean, I've always gone for the more balanced, the more, you know, physique, but you got to give Marcus was somebody that, well, you looked at and thought, Jesus, you know, what's going on here? Of course, he had nothing like the shape and symmetry of say a big Rami, but yeah, that was a tough call.
I'm gonna take that as an endorsement that you had me winning, Peter. And on that note, we will take our first commercial break. When we come back, we will break down the New York Pro and kind of go through the lineup. We'll be back after the break.
This is Lonnie Tieper from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried. Because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Hey, this is Seth Ferosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from Muscle Mads, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought after muscle building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMadsRx.com.
This is Marcus Haley of The Common, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
Nitric oxide war is over. MHP introduces NO-Bomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with NO-Bomb.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of mitotropin.
This is IFBB Pro Mike Valentino. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Run! Oh my God! Business as usual, man! Run! I still hear it! It's going again! Run!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
Go! shop
the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these other boys.
All right, Bob Chick back with Peter McGuff. We're talking about the New York Pro now in the record books. We hit a little bit about the history, Peter, which is always kind of fun, but we could spend way too much time going into the history of the show and where it came from and the crazy antics of... Shit, I could spend an hour on Kenny Jones.
I couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I could spend an hour on him, not with him, but never mind.
Yeah. Well, thank God for that. Well, yeah. Well, Peter, I want to get into the lineup. We talked about Big Rami, obviously, winning outright. Again, not a big surprise there from anybody. But I want to get into a little bit of the lineup, and I want to work from pretty much from the bottom up. We had some new guys in the mix. Nobody making a huge splash. Max Charles, of course, I'm just going to hopscotch around. And Akeem Williams placing fifth for Max and 11th for Akeem, respectively. I got to say, out of the two, though, Peter, I would have been a betting man. I would have thought Akeem actually would have placed higher.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy who's got all the body parts. I don't know whether you saw it, but I posted a shot of him doing the victory pose on MD. When he did it, my eyes popped, because that's probably the hardest pose to pull off in bodybuilding. You know,
oh, yeah.
Sergio was the, you know, he was the template for that. It won't be better. Lee Priest did a good one. But I was very impressed with this. You know, the arms above his head with the triceps bulging and the biceps still bulging, and then the round lats, and, you know, if he's in shape and can keep that fullness, because he's got all the body parts, you know, he's got the hamstrings from the back and from the side, he's got the calves. You know, I was told by Juan Morell, who he's very friendly with, that for some reason he persuaded Akeem to do it just to get a taste of competition, but he's really going for the Chicago. Now, You know, whether that's, you know, a great idea, I don't know, but if he's in shape in Chicago, and he's only been training, I think he's another one who's only been around in the gym 4 or 5 years, you know.
Oh, that's a frightening prospect right there, because that kid's got some muscle, and I'm always a little on the fence, Peter, of people saying, well, I was kind of targeting this other show. I mean, I don't know if anybody really does that. Why would you step on stage if you're targeting a show four weeks away?
Yeah, because he's 11th at this show, whether we think he should have been, he's 11th. So going into the, you know, Chicago, he's 11th. Of course, if he's a revelation, he will get rewarded, but you shouldn't have that. You know, you wouldn't get a Lee Haney or a Dorian or a Justin Compton doing that, you know.
Well, hopefully, we'll see what he can bring. If he can sharpen up, I mean, look for this guy to make a splash. The other rookie making his appearance, Max Charles, a much better finish, fifth place. Boy, what a tremendous upper body. But his legs clearly don't have the mass of that.
Yeah.
And his upper body is huge. I mean, make no mistake. Yeah. I don't know if his upper body is just that big, Peter, or if his legs do need to come up more.
I think you're right. His upper body is that big. I mean, here's a guy that, 2 years ago at the USA, he's bombed. You know, there was all sorts of strange look to his physique. Came back, won his pro card. And he did the opposite of what Akeem did. He got into the best shape of his life for his pro debut, and he was rewarded. You know, and if you look at him and Baiecki, condition-wise, you know, he should maybe leapfrog Baiecki. Yeah, I mean, the upper body is tremendous, and the legs aren't chicken legs, but, you know, there is that imbalance. But, you know, well done to him for coming in shape in his pro debut.
Well, Sergey Shelistov and Khan Demetrio placing 10th and 9th, both. We've seen better versions of both guys, and hopefully they'll continue on. As there's more shows throughout the year. I want to spend a little bit of time on my boy Marius Doné from South. Speaking of South Africa, Peter, that we talked about a little bit earlier. Eighth place here, bro? I'm a little shocked at this one.
Yeah, I've been shaking my head all year because he was eighth in Orlando. He was sixth in Brazil and eighth here. And I have no vested interest in Marius. You know, I spoke to him briefly in Orlando So he's not, you know, I'm not pushing him for any other reason. I am really scratching my head at three results where he should have been a lot higher. He should have been nudging into that top six and then take his chances with, you know, the Max Charleses and the Lionel Bieckis. You know, who's to say that in comparisons, you know, overall he's got great shape. He's a big guy. You know, there are things he needs to improve, and he knows that. And of course, he's come back from a life-threatening illness after 2.5 years. But I just look at him and think, you know, in many shots, you know, back double biceps. That's what, you know, huge delts, thick back, wasp waist. That's what bodybuilding is all about, you know. And I keep on asking myself. I keep going back to the picture and say, well, maybe I've got a blind spot on this. And I still ask, why does this guy not get into the first call out? And then let's see what he can do.
Well, even if anybody can dispute whether he's in the first, one thing you almost can't dispute is the fact that 7th place finisher Mike Kafalianos and 6th place finisher Daniel Toth, while both good, I mean, Kafalianos I've seen better at almost any show he's been in. This was not his best by any stretch. And Daniel Toth was decent, but, you know, he's still a little thick in the middle and blocky to boot. So, I mean, I don't see any circumstance that you don't have Marius above at least these two guys in the 6th place.
Yeah, that was the big mystery, wasn't it? With all due respect to Mike, Mike's trading card is full ripped condition, you know, and let that take the eye rather than certain structural anomalies. And he's a great bodybuilder. He's very keen, and he's got a great wife who I've spoken to. And this was not his best. And you look, well, how could he finish ahead of Marius? And the same with Daniel Tott. I'm reliably informed by a Czech Republic, Hungarian compatriot, that that's how you pronounce it. The H is silent. As
come
is
on,
the,
they're all silent. Believe me, I have to announce these names. It's a nuthouse up there.
Yeah. You know, he's got some great thick muscle, but he's let down by a thickish waist. So when you compare him to Marius in terms of symmetry and in the relaxed round and in the muscle shots, it's a head-scratcher. I mean, Marius has taken it very well. He's not bitching. I'm doing more bitching than he is, and you are, because we want to see a guy get his just desserts. You can tell he's put the work in. This isn't, he hasn't got any funny lumps and bumps anywhere, you know, he deserves better, but he's now done for the year. You know, he won't go again. He's going to go back to South Africa. He's in New York now, which he calls the food capital of the world, and I think he's going to, you know, take advantage of that. Go back to South Africa.
He's probably staked out over at Whole Foods if he was a smart guy. But what's the knock, Peter? Now let's take the other position. We're both fans of his physique and think he should have done better. But let's put the other hat on now. Now let's take him apart. What does he have to improve? I mean, the legs, obviously, in my opinion, could come up a little bit. But other than that, I don't see a whole lot for improvement right now.
No, the legs could do with a bit more sweep. And he was, by his own admittance, flattish at the weekend, without making an excuse. And you know, still in the poses sometimes, you know, with has been a knock against him. He's improved that, but he'll work on it. You know, it's the presentation. You know, but I don't think that's enough to sort of. It's not like he goes into a pose and out of it and you can't see it. I mean, that's one thing. You
right.
Do see his physique and, you know, the fact that it might not be the way everybody wants to see somebody, you can still see the muscle. I don't see you disqualify somebody for that and put him behind some of the guys he has finished behind.
Well, if you're going to knock him down because his legs aren't quite up to the upper body, I mean, isn't that the same case with Max Charles, who has possibly a bigger discrepancy between upper and lower?
That's a great point, Bob. You know, it's consistency is what we're looking for, and you know, there you are. You've turned it on its head.
Well, we discussed Max Charles and what a great future he's possibly got, but the guy in fourth may just has had the best body up there in terms of pure genetics, next to even Big Ramy. But Lionel Bieckis, I'm at a loss at this point, Peter. I mean, you thought this guy was going to kind of come to New York with fire in his eyes, and debatably, I mean, if Lionel Bajecki is 100%, he may take out Big Rami on this stage.
Yeah, he had the size to do it if he was in shape, you know, really could. I mean, here we have the, you know, you can't write this sort of story. He was fourth in Brazil and was outraged. You know, you thought he should have been second. Well, everybody thought he should have been no lower than second. I thought he should have been first. Here he's in fourth and we're saying, no, he shouldn't have been fourth again. You know, but we're going the other way. But what a, he had something going for him here. If he'd have come in shape, I'm sure there'd have been, you know, not a sentiment of, for the judges to have him do well, but he would have been rewarded better, you know. And Dennis James told me that, you know, a few days out, he Skyped Lionel to check out what he looked like. And he said, I didn't need to see his physique. As soon as I saw his face, I knew we had a problem. You know?
Well, he gets those big cheeks working out. You can tell when his face is round, he's smooth, but I got to be honest, Peter. I mean, yeah. Listen, we can only take genetics so far. Great shape, great proportion, beautiful round muscle belly, small joints. He's got it all. But he was so smooth. I'm not so sure I got him in the top six.
Yeah, exactly. You would have thought he would have gone the other way. You know, maybe he's a bank of a fourth place in every show he enters, no matter what he looks like. Yeah.
Well, I got to be honest. I leaving everybody right where they are. I could make a case for flip-flopping Lionel Bajecki in fourth and Marius Donne in eighth.
Yeah, you could. I mean, like you say, there's a similarity in terms of, you know, probably upper body stronger than lower body with Max Charles and Marius. Marius probably wins that one, doesn't he? His legs are not as detrimental.
It's kind of striking, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a good case for that, and it would have been great to see him up there being you know, compared with... But I do take my hat off to Max for being in shape, you know, real shape for his... he was conditioned for his pro debut. That's a lesson to everybody, especially after his, you know, travails of the last couple of years or so.
Yeah, genetics notwithstanding, and again, I don't know if it's a genetic thing or a training thing. I have a tendency to think it's more genetically, you know, disposed, but... Max Charles was in tremendous condition. I mean, maybe in the best condition out of the top five guys. I don't think anybody would really dispute that.
Yeah.
Another guy that was in great condition was a third-place finisher, John De La Rosa, the hometown favorite. Certainly didn't leave anything to be desired on that stage because, man, he was bringing it and definitely more consistent, Peter, than we've seen him throughout from the prejudging till the night show.
Yeah, and John's somebody who we keep saying, you know, that he doesn't, I mean, he's obviously got bigger this year by about 10 pounds, but he hasn't spoiled his proportions. He's even more impressive with more on his delts and his back and his legs, if he needed anything on his legs, and he's still got the tiny waist. And I've said it before, he reminds me of the modern-day Freddie Ortiz when he does a double biceps with those big biceps, hanging triceps, sweep to the narrow waist. I think we still need to see him absolutely dry and ripped. We haven't seen that, you know, even in New York. And, you know, I think he knows that. And I think he's, I think you spoke to him after, I don't know whether he voiced it in the interview, but, you know, he's finding it a bit difficult to sort of do the pro bodybuilding and work his full business, which is a nutrition shop and everything.
Yeah, well, that's always the battle, is, you know, balancing real life and this pretend life that we have that we all enjoy, you know, called the bodybuilding lifestyle. But he's done a great job in balancing that. And what I did get out of it, Peter, was that I asked him if he was going to do Toronto, and he kind of gave me that look, and he said, I got to be honest, man, I think I'm out of gas. So I think he's, you know, listen, it's mentally very draining, possibly more than physically. And he's done some travel this year, too, which he's not accustomed to. You know, obviously being over in Brazil and you know, he's had three in a row here. So I'm not so sure, unless his buddy Juan can convince him to go just to keep him company. I don't know if we're going to see John De La Rosa on stage in Toronto.
No, he's had a difficult year. He's at Orlando, and he, you know, he was probably pre-contest favorite, and then Justin Compton came in, reinventing himself, so that was bad luck on John, because he went into that late. I think he saw an opportunity strategy, let's take the win and get into the Olympia. Then he had to go to Brazil, and I don't think he's competed overseas before. John absolutely has it in his mind that he won't do the Olympia, even though he's qualified the last 2 years, unless he wins a show. And that, you know, you and I agree on this. The qualifying system means you will be in the Olympia with the points. You've got to take, you're unlucky in Orlando running to Justin Compton. Brazil, you know, maybe should have been second again. I don't know. It's, well, and then here, I think he's right. He seemed to just run out of that little bit of 1% of gas, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've both of us have learned not to take anything a bodybuilder says with too much salt, you know, especially in the 24 hours after a show. You get some carbs in them, you know, you get them kind of back in the groove at their house, and all of a sudden they're thinking clear. So we'll hope. I mean, we both are of that same opinion, Peter, that if you qualify for the Olympia, you probably should go in the Olympia. I mean, you know, history has shown, obviously, this has come back to bite some people in the ass. And secondly, it's an honor. I mean, and this year, the 50th anniversary of Joe Weider's Mr. Olympia, I'm not so sure I'd be missing this one. I don't care how I was getting in.
No. Which brings us to Juan Morell, because in second place, because you and I harangued him on Friday night. He was of the same opinion. If I don't win, I'm not going in. And we both hammered into him, saying, this is the Olympia, the 50th. You know, not that you should go in there thinking I'll coast. Go in there to be the best you possibly can. But learn about the Olympia. Learn about the hoopla. Mm-hmm. Get involved in the press conference, the four-day event, the worldwide attention, the global attention through, you know, the webcast, and it's unlike any other show. So when you go in the next year, it's not new to you anymore. It's not going to throw you in any way. And if you're not in that Olympia, you're automatically not one of the top 15 bodybuilders in the world. And Juan Morell is in the top 15. Well, and we keep bringing up, down with the Don Long experience. He qualified and then decided not to do it and then got ill, and he never stepped on the Olympic stage. You never know what's around the corner. But from a marketing point of view, get your face out there. Let European audience see your promoters. You never know what's going to come from it.
And, you know, with this attitude, you know, I get both ways. I mean, you know, I was an athlete. I was at the Olympia. I never would have given that chance up for a million years. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, I don't know if it's a gladiator kind of mentality or some kind of chivalrous thing. Well, you know, I don't feel like I belong if I win. I couldn't disagree more with these guys. And you're right, we hammered Juan on Friday night over and over relentlessly.
He sent me an email afterwards. We might have changed his mind. But as you say, anything could happen.
Well, Peter, look at some of these names. I mean, and this is, you can clearly see the new crew kind of coming in here. I mean, the page is turning. Some of the old guard is getting old and getting out. But you got Juan Morell. You got John De La Rosa. You got Lionel Bajecki. You got
Justin Compton.
Justin Compton, who, for those reading Muscular Development, I actually devoted my last column to, which is in there currently on newsstands, and it's titled "Why Justin Compton Should Do the Olympia," it actually deals with this very subject. And I use Compton as an example to all these guys. That you're right, Peter. It's more than just the competition. You know, you don't know how you're going to stack up, but get in there. I mean, you know, you might be in the top 10, and even if you're not, the only one pass you get is on your first Olympia. You can do no wrong.
Yeah. You're recognized immediately as one of the top bodybuilders in the world. And, you know, it's very deep, you know, that top 15. But it's that experience of getting, you know, if you do very well, you know, top 10, top 6, one's not ready for that probably. But just go in there with all guns, but learn how this works. Learn the dynamics of the show so that is something that's not new to you the next time you go in, improved, you know, the next year or whatever.
Well, let me ask you this, Peter. We've talked about everybody except Juan Morell on the New York stage, and Juan is a big dude. For those who don't know, I mean, Juan is big, and he's wide, and he's put on some muscle. And unfortunately, all that muscle, even if I'm going to guess it, I'll just go out on a limb and say that Juan is, I don't know, 255 on stage. Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
He's losing over 30 pounds of muscle to Big Ramy standing next to him.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, again, if Big Ramy wasn't in it, one would have been home and dry, which is not a pun, but, you know, he was very impressive. He was one guy, Max Charles was another, who hit condition, you know. Okay, he's got the got to build them legs up, and they've got to improve the sweep of the thighs and the separation and the hams. But upper body is just enormous. If you'd have walked him in front of Joe Public, they would have said, I've never seen anybody as big as that in my life, as wide as that, delts as capped as that. And of course, then Big Ramy stands next to him. And it was a bit unfortunate that they called out the top two for the comparison, because it, you know, Ramy won all eight of them purely on size. I mean, one was better conditioned. But maybe they should have called two or three of them out, so that one wasn't left there on his own to deal with this King Kong type thing, you know, going at him. Yeah.
Well, you're looking at almost a 40-pound difference in people. And just to give people perspective, that's putting a middleweight next to a super heavyweight.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen, is it? You know.
No. I mean, it's still like, you know, like you're fond of saying, Peter, and I couldn't agree more, it's still a contest about muscle at the end of the day, and that type of muscle... Big Ramy was certainly not to be denied. But let me, hypothetically, Peter, let me ask you. Juan Morell steps on the Olympia stage 5% better than he was here. Can he make top 10?
I think he can make the top 10. I think he'd slip into that 10, 9, 8 sort of slot if he's at his best, you know. I don't know if there's time to improve an awful lot, but he's working on his own now. So, you know, he says he doesn't have... With people he's worked for in the past, he's learned from them, but he doesn't have any discussions now going backwards and forth where the guru says, we should do this, and, you know, I don't know about that. He just does what he wants. So he's learned an awful lot. He might be a new breed, the same with Justin Compton doing it. And one, you know, we've been around years, you know, Bob, and some guys are nice to your face, and everybody says, what a good guy. This is a good guy. You know, there's no... He is a genuine good guy. I was amazed the other day he went on MD Online when Ramy was in and was singing Ramy's praises. Who else would have done something like that if he's going to face the guy the next day? You know?
True that. True that, yeah. Peter. Well, we are running out of time, Peter. I just want to give some quick credit where it's due. Jason Poston winning the men's physique over a very good Sadiq Hadzovic, the hometown favorite. Very close competition there. Big upset in bikini, Peter, is Ashley Kaltwasser, your reigning bikini Olympia champ, got beat by a New York native, Yashira Robles. Of course, they will be meeting again on the Olympia stage. And Juliana Malacarne makes it three in a row in New York, Peter. And boy, I tell you, she put a physique up there that's going to be very difficult to beat, even by DLB herself at this year's Olympia.
Oh, I think so. And, you know, she's got all the goods there. She's got a bit more shape and development, and of course the 212s was a battle royal between Guy Cisterino and Aaron Clark.
Yeah, that's right. We almost forgot the 212. We can't do that, Peter, but Aaron Clark, a well-deserved victory. Guy Cisterino pushing him for everything he had, so congratulations to those gentlemen as well. Peter, we are out of time, but once again, my friend, it always goes too fast when me and you are talking shop.
It does indeed, yeah.
All right, Peter.
Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sticking by, and we will catch up next week. Sugar Sean back in the seat next week. And for Peter McGough, this is Bob Chick. We are out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.